Good Friday morning, everyone. Welcome into Morning Invest. I'm Clayton Morris. So glad to have you here, the only morning business show for real people, not the Wall Street types. And today on the show, we're going to be talking about the stimulus. And can the Federal Reserve step in and save us all? With Mitch McConnell basically killing the stimulus last night, Nancy Pelosi and the White House still trying to work on a deal when Mitch McConnell basically said it's dead. We'll tell you the latest on that. But the question this morning is, can the Federal Reserve step in with their own digital currency? There's a roadmap for this. And how could they, in fact, deposit digital currency into your account? We're going to show you exactly what this plan is from the Federal Reserve. And could this be coming soon? Fingers crossed on this, because there's mounting pressure now from Wall Street for the Fed to step in, because Congress can't get its act together. We're going to talk about five stocks that you should avoid because of government interference. So we'll look at the five stocks that, if you might have them, in fact, in your 401k, they might be hidden somewhere that you don't know about. Pay attention to these stocks, because it could lead to some major losses for you if you're not paying attention. We're also going to look at the next housing crisis, which is unfolding before our eyes, but it's a lot different than what you think it is. You know, as a real estate investor, I study this stuff regularly, and to see what's happening in the broader marketplace. This housing crisis, there's a lot of misinformation, I think, floating around on the internet about this housing crisis and what it's going to look like. It's like kind of like half true. So we're going to look at how I see this unfolding over the next few months and into 2021. So you should be prepared for that. All of that and more. Grover is not here with us today. He is, I shot a little video before he left. We had to take him to the pet sitter this morning because we are heading out of town for our anniversary. So he is now running around a farm with a bunch of other doggies. So here is a throwback video that I shot a little earlier in full transparency. So I miss my boy already. It's weird, the things that you forget when you've got a dog in the house, you know, you're like, oh, I can just go do that thing, and you won't hear the little footsteps following you everywhere. Like, wait, I'm just going to the kitchen, and he's just right there always walking with us. I hear the little footsteps and the little chain rattling. And I'm like, I'm going to the kitchen to get an iced coffee, and I don't hear little feet tapping behind me. It's kind of sad. So I hope everyone is doing well on this Friday. Thank you so much for subscribing to the channel. Today is members only chat day. So I've got to turn that on right now. Let me turn on members only chat. It's our Friday settings. If you want to become a channel member, it's very easy to become a channel member. Just go to morninginvest.com/join. And you can become a channel member to support independent journalism here on the show. And that's what we do. We cover the stories you're not going to hear in the mainstream media. And I really thank all of our channel members. We've got, I think, well over 1,000 now. So thank you so much for your support of the channel. And we'll see if we can get a few more channel members before the end of the show today. And then you can participate in the chat. So the members only chat is on now, I believe. Did we just flip that on? Yes. So members only chat. So thank you to all of our new channel members, by the way. We've got Master Transporter, Princess Diana, Nichelle Johnson, Brandy Johnson, Allison Morgan, Adam L., Betty Boop, Cy Whitworth, M. Katz, Jackie Hoover, Keith Socia, Jamie Sinkowski, Victor, they're flying by. So welcome, Amanda. Thank you guys so much. Thank you for all of your support. All right, let's get to the news, shall we? Well, we got some unemployment numbers out this morning, and they are not good. So for all of this talk of a V-shaped recovery from Larry Kudlow and President Trump at his rallies, talking even last night during the town hall about this recovery, we're coming back. We're going to make America great again. I don't know. Anyway, the American economy right now is showing fresh signs of a deceleration, according to the latest data. Not good. And take a look at the latest report. Hopes for a rebound here in the New York Times of the American economy have been clouded by layoffs, a surge in virus cases, we're going to get to that a little bit later in the show, and a fresh lack of federal aid, which we all know too well, a lack of stimulus, don't we? We're well aware of the lack of stimulus. The Labor Department reported Thursday that 886,000 people filed new claims for unemployment benefits last week. That's an increase of nearly 77,000 from the previous week. Adjusted for seasonal variations, it was 898,000. The rise follows, of course, announcements by major companies about new layoffs, American Airlines, United Airlines, Disney, and of course, a lack of stimulus by Republicans and Democrats. Here's one of like the, I love this quote in the New York Times, really, really going for a good meaty quote here by Ian Shepherdson, who's a chief economist at Pantheon Macroeconomics. How'd you like that job? Ian says, it's discouraging. The labor market appears to be stalled, which underscores the need for new stimulus as quickly as possible. Thank you for that expert quote in the New York Times piece. You could have asked my mom. I could have said, Verna Morris says, life sucks right now. It's discouraging. Thank you, economist. Yes, it's discouraging. The labor market is stalled. Look around. We know this. How about some deeper insight here, please? Okay, let's provide some deeper insight. The latest numbers right now are showing a churning in the labor market, and the rate of firings has picked up. Not furloughs now, firings. This is troubling. This is supposed to be a V-shaped recovery, folks. We keep hearing it. Next time someone says it's a V-shaped recovery, I want you to drop one of these fingers. Catch me? Hey, it's a V-shaped recovery. Yeah. I'm about to drop a finger. It's not a V-shaped recovery. Federal program, of course, set to expire at the end of this year is really troubling because it's the Pandemic Emergency Unemployment Compensation. So what we're seeing now in the labor market is people leaving the state-run programs for unemployment, going now to the pandemic assistance program, which runs out at the end of this year. No stimulus plan. No call to renew that program. 2.8 million people were getting extended benefits. That's a jump that was just around 2 million last week. Now it's up to 2.8. The 13 weeks of extended unemployment benefits have dried up. So now we're seeing people turning towards the federal assistance program through the end of the year. I love that that ends on December 31st, as if the pandemic ends on my birthday. That's my birthday, by the way. I expect Starbucks gift cards. The pandemic will be over on December 31st, so just mark your calendar, folks. New Year's Eve. More layoffs are expected, according to the latest data. Hospitality continues to struggle. We now know as states go under further lockdowns, Canada is extending its closures of the border. Who's going to hotels? Who's traveling? Who's getting in airplanes? No one. If you're going anywhere, you're driving someplace. But all these hotels that were overbuilt to begin with are now empty. And the people, and even if they're not empty, the company has to make a decision. And where can you cut the biggest fat immediately? It's by firing people. It's because if people aren't booking hotel rooms, people aren't going out to eat. You got to lay people off. And of course, it's the low-income workers which are most affected by this. Some states' restaurants have been able to salvage some business by serving diners outside, but that's going to drop. I mean, you only got like a few more weeks of that, maybe. You can set up some of those heat lamps, which a lot of companies or restaurants are doing if they can afford it. There's no PPP program right now. So if they needed some sort of a loan to be able to, you know, set up outside dining, like in New York City now, you can't have inside dining. So they're setting it outside in these like plastic barricades with heat lamps. To me, that's like, isn't that just the same thing? You're like setting up an indoor space outdoors and setting up heat lamps in a plastic bubble, like the Bubble Boy. Okay. Midwest states, Western states seeing a surge right now in coronavirus infections. So with these unemployment numbers tied to this coronavirus, look at the latest surges in coronavirus right now. Just look across state to state. This is bad news. We've seen 68, let me just put this up here real quick. We put 63,000 new cases on Thursday, yesterday. That's the highest daily count since July 31st. Can you imagine? Over 37,000 people currently being hospitalized in the United States because of the virus. And again, running out of hospital beds. Does this sound like, you know, May all over again? June all over again? Yeah, because when you look at the map, look at this. Florida surging, Pennsylvania surging. All of these states in brown are increasing. Do you remember when a lot of these states were blue and decreasing? Yeah, now it's the opposite. Florida is one of these places. South Carolina up. By the way, you know, when you talk about like battleground states and mail-in voting, look at all the battleground states are in brown. Yes, I need for mail-in voting so that people don't have to go stand in lines with people who might have coronavirus. Tennessee, 25% increase. Kentucky up 18%. Ohio, 23%. Look at Indiana. Illinois, 27% in Michigan. Another battleground state there, Wisconsin. Another battleground state, Minnesota. All of these. Texas, hey, you're looking good. You're the only one that's looking good right now in Texas. So, American economy right now showing fresh signs of slowing down, deceleration. So when you hear members of the White House saying that the economy is recovering, we're looking good, things are on track. We knew this to be the case, that those job loss numbers, those Labor Department numbers that we kept hearing about, the 7.9%, et cetera, that number doesn't matter. What really matters is the people that are now getting fired or out of the system completely, who aren't even looking for work because their job is missing and gone. And now the new sign of layoffs that are unfolding right now is all of these companies are starting to furlough and fire individuals. And it's only getting worse. That's the unemployment update for you this morning. I wish I had better news on that front. But we are in for a long winter unless the federal government gets its act together. So please, if you need more information on the business front, you want to be able to follow these stories, subscribe to our channel. And we publish these videos every day. We're here live at 9 a.m. Eastern time. So if you're new here, thank you so much for joining. I appreciate it. We've got a lot more to get to. Let's talk the stimulus in a second. A little coffee break. A little scratch in my throat today. It's all that talking.
Come on, man.
Sorry. Just relax, Joe. I'm allowed to take a break. I do this show for free. What are you doing for me? Get my charts up here. Make sure I have my charts. Charts, graphs, and news stories. Charts, graphs. All right. Let's talk. Well, if you've been following our show for any length of time, you know that the Federal Reserve, in my opinion, has been the most effective bulwark. That's a good name. That's a good word, bulwark. Look that up a little bit later. Against our economy slipping into total chaos and poverty. They were able to swoop in during the 2008 recession and save the world. My hope was that they would be able to do it again. And they have been highly effective through this coronavirus. Well, can they step in now and issue their own form of stimulus? Can they do it? If you're new here, subscribe to the channel, smash that like button. And also, make sure you turn on that little bell notification, by the way, so that you're notified when we publish a new video. The question on all of your minds is, does the Federal Reserve have the power to do what Congress can't seem to do, which is pass a stimulus, get money to the American people? The answer, according to the Federal Reserve, is yes, they can. Only after they've had enough time to allow the public to accept this, like a public hearing, which they've done. They've allowed these things to unfold throughout the spring. They've already put the framework in place. So we'll get to all of that in a second. But first, some updates on where we are right now with the broader stimulus. And then we'll get to the Fed's piece of this, which I think could end up being like Superman flying in and saving us all with their own form of cash. The stimulus update overnight is we've got a little bit of movement. So in the last few hours, we learned that Nancy Pelosi and Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin with President Trump made movements together. Little movements, like little turtle movements. And what that movement was, is that the White House agreed to the coronavirus testing, tracing, and virus language in the bill. They agreed to some of that language, which is all Nancy Pelosi has been talking about for the past few days. We want that language in there so that states, we know that this money will be used for testing, tracing, et cetera, and distribution of the vaccine when we have it. Great. The White House agreed on that. They're getting closer to a price tag, right? 1.8 or 2.2. We're getting closer on this number. So they continue to negotiate, which I'm shocked by. Now, the big bombshell story I tweeted about last night was Mitch McConnell. So even if they come to an agreement, which I'm going to get to more of that in a second, Mitch McConnell announced last night that he will not put anything above $500 billion on the floor of the Senate. Again, who's wearing the pants in Washington? If you've been following this show for any length of time, it's Mitch McConnell, the Senate Majority Leader. The guy who will likely have a job long after Trump is gone. We'll see. He's in a contentious race in Kentucky, but with all of the money being foisted his way, there's very little chance he'll lose. So he'll likely be there when President Trump loses on Election Day. And he's got his members. He's got his conservative members of the Senate saying they don't want anything. He said, my members have no appetite for spending anything higher than that. In fact, many of them don't want to even spend $500 billion. So here's what we have. We have basically almost like a weird Marvel team up where you've got, like, you know, Nancy Pelosi and the White House trying to work on a deal that, even if they do get a deal, then they hand it off to Mitch McConnell, who is going to just like put it in the waste paper basket, crumple it up. Which is confounding to me, because last night, President Trump, during that town hall that they held on NBC, he said, you know, look, Nancy Pelosi doesn't want a deal. So he's firmly focused on making her the bad person in this. I get it. It's politics. But Mr. President, why don't you point the political gun right at Mitch McConnell? He's the bad guy in these negotiations. But I don't understand Nancy Pelosi in this. If I'm Nancy Pelosi, and I'm not, I know what day of the week it is.
If you're quiver, you're not ruling anything out.
Good morning. Sunday morning.
It's Friday, Nancy. If I'm Nancy Pelosi, and let's be clear, I'm not, I would come to an agreement with the White House. Fine. Yeah, hey, 1.8? Great. Let's do it. You got some of that language in there on testing and tracing? Good, good, good. We're done. Deal is done. Negotiation's over. Good. Here you go, Mitch. Here you go, Mitch. Now it's on your plate. What are you going to do about it? What are you going to do? And that's going to really test the power of the presidency. That's going to really tell us whether or not the president of the United States has the ability to go after Mitch McConnell. Then it would become a battle between Mitch McConnell and President Trump. And right now, it's a battle between Nancy Pelosi and the White House. But the point is that Mitch McConnell has no intentions of taking up this bill. He's only going to put forward this little piddly $500 billion. I know it's a lot of money, but it's not going to go to what the American people need. It's not going to have direct stimulus checks. It would be for PPP programs for businesses, but very, very little else for the American people. And so Nancy Pelosi could pass the stimulus and put it right in Mitch McConnell's lap. And then he would be forced to take action on it right before an election in Kentucky. Will he do it? No, he's not going to do it. And why Nancy Pelosi won't do it, I don't know. I can't figure that out. I mean, by all accounts, that would make the most sense. So that's where we are, the very latest on the congressional piece of the stimulus. But what about the Federal Reserve? Could the Federal Reserve, under the helm of Chairman Jerome Powell, step in and pass their own version of government stimulus that goes directly to you, the American people? The answer is yes. And most tellingly is a framework that the Federal Reserve put together, which would do exactly this. We give you bonds, basically. In fact, let me pull up a piece from the report, which was actually brought about by this was called the Blue Sky Report. I have the wrong one up here, don't I? No. Yeah, this is right. I have the wrong full screen. I have the wrong full screen up here. Let me pull this. Here we go. Here it is. Sorry. I had the wrong one up there. Okay. So this is from Julia Coronado and Simon Potter. They are former Fed economists, and they laid out this whole proposition, which has been agreed upon by other members of the Fed. And the report basically asks that you would be able to get money directly to the people using digital currency, just like a direct deposit. And what would happen is it would be tied to macroeconomic conditions like unemployment rate. And if the unemployment rate hits a certain number, they would basically give you stimulus money. And that unemployment rate right now would trigger this number. And the way that it would work basically is that they would give you almost like government bonds. And then they would basically give you money back for those bonds at the time that you would need them, which is right now. But there are troubling signs in the Federal Reserve that they have been walking away from this pandemic and their stimulus. There's two major things that right now are troubling to me about the Federal Reserve. And I hope that this changes very soon with pressure from Wall Street, which is growing this morning. But there's basically, they've been walking away from this middle-sized business facility and the one for Main Street. So there's two different facilities that they created to help Main Street and municipalities. And they've basically been walking away from them because Congress has been like hamstringing them on these issues. So the Federal Reserve is kind of like, their hands are tied. They're kind of like, all right, we're done. They're like walking away from those things. So there's a couple of things right now the Federal Reserve could do to turn this all around. Number one is they could actually get their Main Street program back up and running again and save all of these businesses. We know that there are an additional 6 million businesses which are about to go under. Save them. That money you set aside is there. It's already there. Go out and give it to them. The problem is that many of these small business owners, like the old woman that runs the nail salon, she doesn't know that these programs exist. Go give it to them. Marshal these forces and go give it to them. You can send out, tens of thousands of people to knock on doors in the census. Couldn't we do something similar now? Marshaling and putting people to work, by the way. Hire some people. Go door to door business to business. Tell them about this program. Here's how to sign up and save your business. Do it. This money is already there. The other thing they can do is help these municipalities, the municipal lending facilities, which can help these local governments, these state and local governments, which Nancy Pelosi has been crying about. Those two things alone could help save our entire economy. And then the next piece is they have the power to give money to the American people, $2,000 a month in a Fed credit card, that they would be able to set up a bank account in a very short amount of time and fund that account for every American. That's it. And it would be simple to do. Just as they laid out in this piece, these Fed former Fed chiefs laid this out in this piece, exactly how to do this. They could make loans to small businesses. They could take this money, basically give this money to, they could take the money and put it into bonds. These bonds would go to the American people. And then when a certain unemployment rate is triggered, they would take this money they put money into your bank account and would take the bonds back. And then if it happened again, they would issue you new bonds. brilliant. The Federal Reserve has been the only, has been really the only stable force in this entire pandemic. Has been the most effective, stable bulwark. Look, I love that word. Against further poverty, further decline in this economy. But if Mitch McConnell is not going to pass a broader stimulus, a comprehensive stimulus, and he's going to do this little small, focused, narrow, piddly thing, the Federal Reserve may have to take matters into its own hand. They've already done huge power grabs. We're going to have another video next week on the Federal Reserve's big power grab. They are the most powerful part of our government. I mean, they're not even elected, and they're more powerful than our central government, the central bank, the Federal Reserve, and they can step in and do this. There are growing signs that they're going to do something. A number of different Federal Reserve board members have been coming out pushing for them to do something. So if Congress doesn't, might we all see a $2,000 per month stimulus from the Federal Reserve? Fingers crossed. Let me know if you would like this. Does this make sense to you? Do you think we should all get our own Federal Reserve bank account where we can make these types of deposits? Let me know in the chat below. I would love to hear your thoughts on that. And please don't forget to subscribe to the channel and turn on that little bell notification so when we publish a new video, you'll get notified. So thank you for that. The Federal Reserve is also warning about a housing crisis. While we're on the Federal Reserve talking about stimulus, just a short time ago, the Housing Insecurity in the Time of COVID-19 was published by William Emmons. He's a lead economist with the Center for Household Financial Stability at the Federal Reserve Bank of St. Louis. He's not a high-level guy at the Fed, but he's looking at some interesting data. So the Federal Reserve, and I've seen a bunch of people talking about different housing versions of a housing crisis that could be unfolding. But I think they're missing maybe half the story, or they're couching it in such a way that I think has people remembering 2008, when just house after house after house was just sitting there vacant and boarded up. It's going to look a lot different, though, this time. So they see a housing crisis coming, the Federal Reserve. A lot of people do, myself included. But the way that I see it unfolding is different than I think the way that we would see it, the way we would, you know, if we remember history. So the housing crisis is going to look totally different this time. So in this, what I think they're missing the point, it's not so much a housing crisis. I think it's not so much a housing crisis, but rather probably the most massive transfer of wealth we've ever seen in this country. Meaning people that have their house now won't, and the wealthy people that don't have their house will buy it. And those people will go from being homeowners to renters or homeless with permanent job loss. So that house might not be sitting there vacant. It'll just have different ownership. It'll go from the low-income worker right now who just lost their job at the hotel, and Wall Street will come in and buy that house, like Invitation Homes. Story we covered here last week on the show. Invitation Homes is cranking up the amount of money, their hedge fund money that they're buying homes with now, upwards of 80,000 homes, billions of dollars going to buying homes, single family homes all across the country. Any home they can get their hand on, basically. Why? Because first of all, it's stable as opposed to Wall Street. And we have a housing crisis in this country already. We have an affordable housing crisis in this country. And it's about to get worse. Pre-pandemic, you know, just for some history here, pre-pandemic, we already didn't have enough homes in this country. We needed millions upon millions of homes and apartments that we don't have, which means rent is higher because of supply and demand, but wages didn't increase for those low-income workers. So rents going higher means a higher proportion of their income is now going to cover rent. One of the other things that's unfolding right now in this housing crisis is the banks. So you could look at what's going on with the banks and make an assessment. You could say, okay, now over the summer, JP Morgan Chase, Jamie Dimon, all of those guys started putting like $40, $50 billion aside. so that in case they had to deal with delinquencies from people not being able to pay their mortgages, we would have these reserves set aside that we could cover all of these delinquencies from people not being able to pay their mortgages. Well, if you look at their balance sheets, if you look at their latest earnings reports and the latest data from Chase and other banks, you'll see that what their loan loss protection money that they've set aside, they've actually lessened that amount. Now, you could read too much into that and say, that's a great sign, right? Saw CNBC talking about, hey, that's a good sign. Is it? Or do they know that they'll be taken care of by the Federal Reserve, which continues to buy up junk bonds, mortgage-backed securities, and all of this other crap? So why would they sit there with all of this money in a loan loss prevention fund when they know that the Federal Reserve is going to take care of them anyway? That's one cynic's view of it. The other could be that they just don't see as many delinquencies as they thought they might. Aha! Yet. Because when we look at the data that's now out, and how many people are in forbearance right now who filed for forbearance, and they have 180 days, and then we see how many people are actually delinquent, delinquencies are rising. But a lot of this is being pushed down months away. So is this the calm before the storm? Well, that's what Bill Emmons thinks, that this is sort of a, he sees storm clouds, he writes. He says basically that the current fiscal policy will protect the economy and the housing markets from experiencing the chaos during the last financial crisis. But he says he sees major crisis coming in the housing sector potentially. Okay. Mortgage companies right now, mortgage delinquencies are always a massive indicator of a housing crisis. When the CARES Act, of course, rolled out, those forbearance programs that were put in place, we had lots of people on those forbearance programs. There's fewer people taking advantage of those forbearance programs right now. But one thing you need to look at when you look at the Mortgage Bankers Association notes, when they actually put this data out and they show that we have higher delinquencies, what you need to understand about those delinquencies is that they're not necessarily delinquent. They are in a forbearance, yet they're counting them as a delinquent. Okay, so they're in the forbearance program. Does that mean they're not, when they're done in 180 days, they won't be able to pay their mortgage? Maybe. If they don't have a job, the people that are mostly been filing these forbearance are lower income workers. And if they don't have a job and a way to make a payment because there's no federal stimulus, don't you think that those forbearances are going to turn into delinquency and then ultimately a foreclosure? I do. I mean, how can you think not? What is there some mysterious thing that's going to swoop in and prevent that from happening? The only thing that really could prevent that from happening, well, there's a couple things. Number one, we extend these forbearance programs. The federal government maybe steps in and makes it, you know, we got to extend these forbearance programs so people just keep kicking the can down the street. That's one thing. The second thing is that we could pass stimulus that would give rental assistance or mortgage assistance to people to actually pay these mortgages. But in some way, the federal government is going to help these banks. If they don't help you directly, then they're going to just help the banks directly. And they'll keep buying up these mortgage-backed securities. They'll keep buying up these bad loans, these people that can't pay their mortgages. They'll step in and buy them up. So the banks will be fine. That's why their forecasts look good right now. They released their forecast this week, and they're fine. Why? Because we know the Federal Reserve is right there to take care of them. If you look at some of the other data right now, the 90-day delinquencies, let me put some of these data points up on the screen, and this is sort of the overall assessment from August, that the change in the delinquency rate is down a little bit, just like half a point. Improvement in early-stage delinquencies continues, though the rate of improvement has slowed. Delinquencies fell about 9% in early-stage delinquencies. That's dropping back below pre-pandemic levels. But look at serious delinquencies, up 5%. That means that these people are 90 days past due. And then look at the foreclosure start rate right now. Despite the vast numbers of seriously delinquent loans, foreclosure rates continue to drop due to forbearance plans and moratoriums. So, okay, nearly 2.4 million properties are 90 days past due. The reason that these foreclosures take time, people, I think, you know, this is where some of this misinformation is out there right now. Foreclosure processes take time and they're costly. And so if banks know that there's some sort of stimulus on the horizon, they're going to slow that process down. Let me tell you something. Banks do not want to own property. They don't. This is the banks want properties off of their balance sheets. They like dealing in money. They do not want to own properties. And if they can avoid going through a foreclosure process, they are going to do it, even if it has to be delayed. So what you're seeing is a delay in the pain. But again, the reason I see that this housing crisis, the way that it's unfolding, is not necessarily going to be tons of just vacant houses sitting around. The way that I see this housing crisis is quite simply a transfer of wealth from those low income, lower middle class homeowners that only had 1 month, maybe even a half a month of savings, which they blew through when they lost their job and they were trying to pay their mortgage. They filed for forbearance and now they got 180 days to get something together, no stimulus, and they have no additional money to pay for it. That's when it goes into foreclosure. And what happens is they become a renter then. And we're already seeing some of these big companies already starting to buy the home, and the people are now renting it from the Wall Street bank that swooped in and bought it. Invitation Homes. The greatest transfer of wealth in this country is happening. That's the housing crisis. It's not neighborhoods that are completely empty because all these houses are vacant. No, we have an affordable housing crisis in this country. We need housing. They will be filled with people. There will be people living in those houses. They just might not be the people that originally owned it. Now there's going to be renters in those houses. And they may even be paying higher, more than they were paying when they got their mortgage. Another clear indicator of pain is mortgages right now are harder to get, and banks are tightening up. So you need to pay attention to all of these different data points and try not to read into any one piece. You know, you could sit there and look at their, they've lessened the amount that they're putting into this loss program for the loans. That's good news. Not necessarily. But they're also tightening up their restrictions on getting mortgages. With housing prices continue to go up and demand for housing going up, they're tightening up your ability to get a mortgage. Something's fishy. Again, watch what they do, not what they say. You have to look at these data points. So that to me is what the housing crisis looks like. It's a transfer of wealth from the poor, lower middle class, to the wealthy once again. Wall Street swooping in and becoming a landlord once again. History repeating itself. Take a little break. Man, we're flying today. It's so much stuff. I thought, man, it's going to be a long show, but it's not. Thank you. By the way, if you're watching right now and you're wondering, why can't I chat? Today is our Friday members only chat. So we've got a few thousand people who are members of this channel, and you can become a member by going to morninginvest.com/join. And for like the price of a cup of coffee once a month, you can become a channel member. You get access to our little channel emotes there with our little pictures of a Grover. And we have got a bunch of, these are all hand-drawn, by the way. So if you see in the chat right now little pictures of Grover, they're all hand-drawn by our artist, which is pretty cool. Frank Raganese, thank you for your super chat. Says, since I trust you, is there any way around Mitch McConnell if a bill is agreed to between Pelosi and Mnuchin to get it to the Senate floor? No. No. You know, this is part of our quote-unquote democracy. You know, co-equal branches of government. This is the way this works, you know. So you have this money, all right, so you have this bill in the House of Representatives, and it has to go to the Senate. They can change it, whatever. And then they sign off on it or not. But Mitch McConnell, as the Senate Majority Leader, he can choose to just table the bill. It never comes out of committee. It never goes anywhere. The only way around Mitch McConnell, Frank, is if President Trump gets off his butt and stops just spending his time insulting Nancy Pelosi and lying to people, and actually goes and tells Mitch McConnell, here's what he has to do. He can't just make a phone call. This is what a phone looks like in the 1970s. He can't just make a phone call to Mitch McConnell and tell him to do this. He needs to go out at the podium at one of his rallies, and he needs to say, you know, everybody, Nancy Pelosi, I call her Crazy Nancy. She's crazy. But you know what? She might not be the real problem. It's Mitch McConnell. Yeah. I thought I could work with him. Looks like I can't. He runs the Republican Party, President Trump. It's called Trumpism, right? I mean, literally, like, he runs the party. They have no platform. You see the RNC, the Republican National Convention? He just runs the whole show. There is no platform. It's all him. And you've seen how many, I mean, the Axios put out their loyalty index just a few days ago, shows how many Republicans are like in lockstep with the president. I mean, it's like 82 or 89% or something of Republicans are just like right there in support of him. So he runs the party. So he should come out at the podium and be like, you know, Crazy Nancy, she's bad enough, but let me tell you, somebody might be worse. Mitch McConnell. Yeah, I thought for years that I might be able to work with him. Well, got some bad news, everybody. He doesn't want to pass stimulus. We got it, Mitch, if you're watching, we got to pass the stimulus. That's the only way it's going to happen, and you know it, is he's got to take the microphone, go on Fox News, go on Hannity, and bash Mitch McConnell. Not bash him, but tell him, like, look, Mitch McConnell, now the ball's in your court. You got to make this happen. And in fact, if he does that, I mean, that could move the needle in some of these battleground states for him. He could actually end up winning the election if he's able to do that, if enough people are paying attention. I don't know at this point. I mean, 17 million people have already voted. So, here's my problem. He had all summer to do this. So this is a self-inflicted wound on Trump's part. If during the summer he showed effective leadership on coronavirus and stimulus, he wouldn't be in the situation he's in right now, which is losing big time to Joe Biden. Mark my words. Mark me words. So, you know, I see some people making time. Sorry, let me say that again. Maybe I need some more coffee this morning. You know, I see people making comments from time to time on my channel where they say, Clayton, this is an investing channel. Let's talk investing. Let's not talk politics. And then other times I see people saying, hey, Clayton, I want to hear more politics. I don't want to hear about real estate. I don't want to hear about the stock market. To which I say, hold on, everybody. I'm an investor, right? I've been an investor for many years. I'm a real estate investor. I invest somewhat in the stock market, of course, and cryptocurrency. But I started my entire career while I was investing and putting money aside to start investing. I was a political reporter. I was a reporter and news anchor for many, many years covering Washington politics. And what's interesting is that if you look at it, all of these things are intertwined. So if you're one of these people that doesn't think that politics has anything to do with the stock market or doesn't have anything to do with real estate, then I can't help you. It's all connected. So we have to cover both here on this channel because politics moves markets. If you don't believe me, look at what's been happening with the stimulus. As President Trump, over the past week or so, every time the stock market goes down, he says, stimulus, go big. The stock market goes up. And then we get some bad stimulus news and then goes back down. Then he says, stimulus, go big. And it goes back up again. Well, yesterday the stock market went down again because Mitch McConnell said he wasn't going to accept any big stimulus bill. The stock market goes down. So this government involvement in stocks it's insidious. It's there. And so if you are going to invest in the stock market, please do not invest in stocks that are irrationally tied to the government. So now I want to talk about five different stocks that I've been looking at that you should avoid because of their government connections and because of government involvement in these stocks. And if you have these stocks, you better be a smart day trader who can watch the minute-by-minute manipulations of these things. But if you're an average investor, or you have some of these stocks perhaps in your IRA or 401k, please pay attention. All right, we're going to go through five of these stocks. Let's start with number five. Let's talk about Facebook. So Facebook, and then frankly, number four on our list is also there. But in the past few hours, as we reported in a newsletter today, the FCC, the Federal Communications Commission, is now going to regulate and take over social media. Yes, their salad days are gone. Their salad days of pretending to be just a social media company are gone. They are a media company, and therefore should be regulated by the FCC. It has bipartisan support in Congress. They're sick and tired of the manipulation of this content for political reasons or otherwise. Of course, in the past 24 hours, we saw Twitter go down. So number four on my list here of stocks is Twitter. So these two are basically the same, Twitter and Facebook. Both publicly traded companies, both now about to be under government control, just like at NBC, getting FCC license approval, etc. Being probably, you know, the broadcast networks have to give co-equal time to candidates. Imagine that. How in the world are these companies going to operate when people are publishing information for different political candidates, giving co-equal time to social media? These things are about to change dramatically. And then, of course, Twitter yesterday had a huge outage. Twitter was down for hours during the town halls last night, by the way. So if you were trying to read Twitter last night during the town halls, done. But of course, all of this is on the heels of what happened with the Hunter Biden story over the past 48 hours, which we covered here. You know, as they censored individuals posting the New York Post story about Hunter Biden's email scandal, both platforms said they weren't going to allow that article to be disseminated. To which the federal government said, wait a second, is that right? This large media company is now going to be censoring news? So again, please avoid these stocks if you know what's good for you, as government intervention continues to climb with these companies. Be very, very careful. Number three on my list is American Airlines. U.S. airline industry received a $25 billion aid package. And here's the stock, by the way, over the past few months. Look at this. You know, come up and down a little bit, but the U.S. airline industry is not going to recover anytime soon. And this is why Warren Buffett and smart billionaires dumped their airline stock. They received a $25 billion aid package that's all pretty much expired and dried up on October 1st. More aid, of course, is in that stimulus bill, but it hasn't passed Congress, so they're not getting anything. American Airlines has said that this was the worst or most challenging quarter in American Airlines history. So you might look at this and say, hey, this is an opportunity for us to buy. But the problem with that is that American Airlines, and my second stock on my list, has so much involvement now and reliance on the federal government that your savings and investing would be tied to what the federal government does. Relying on $25 billion in aid, $19,000 furloughs and layoffs. Then if the government comes in and bails them out, takes ownership of the airlines, buys up huge pieces of it in a loan program, that's why Warren Buffett jumped out. So if this is in one of your retirement accounts, you need to be careful. Number two on my list is another one of these travel and leisure stocks, and that's Carnival. Let's take a look at these numbers from Carnival over the past few months. New restrictions in place. The stock is down 70% year to date, $15 as of yesterday, and it's showing no signs of recovery anytime soon. And of course, there are new lockdowns. new travel restrictions. Who's going to get on a cruise ship? There was some cruises that popped up that started, I think, in Norway. There was a Norwegian ship. We reported on it in our newsletter. By the way, you can read our daily newsletter, our investing newsletter, Morning Invest, by going to morninginvest.com. It's totally free. So please sign up. We're going to get to our number one stock in a second. But anyway, in Norway, we covered this in the newsletter. There was a cruise ship that started out and all kinds of infections within a short amount of time. Done. Closed back down again. Who's getting on a cruise ship? Why would you invest in that? You have to think government involvement in these. So if you're investing in something where the government controls your ability to travel, cross borders, have more than five people in a group in any one particular area, if you're at the mercy of the government, think again about investing in something like that. But again, how many of you watching right now would get on a cruise ship? No way. I mean, I don't mind cruises. You know, when I Disney cruise, the kids, and you know, it was a lot of fun. But they're already a petri dish. Like, even without coronavirus, it's nasty. And so our number one stock that you should avoid because of government involvement is a company called Fastly. Fastly stock. So what is Fastly? You might not have even heard of Fastly. Well, they plummeted big time because of government involvement in TikTok. And see, that's how a lot of these reverberations happen. If you're not paying attention to politics, you're not paying attention to what the federal government is doing, it has an adverse effect and a ripple effect on so many different companies. So everyone's talking about TikTok, right? They're going to be banned, they're going to kill the app in America, or Microsoft's going to buy TikTok. China, you know, is going to be spying on us, so we got to get rid of TikTok. Well, Fastly happens to be a company that actually provides all of the technology, the behind-the-scenes technology for TikTok. We're not sure like why their TikTok is plunging so much and their usage on their platform, but Fastly is the company that basically provides all the content. And their stock has plunged because of government involvement in TikTok. What's so weird, though, is that if you look at these data points here, they're plunged nearly 30% Thursday morning. And that's because TikTok did not meet expectations. What's weird is, though, about this whole thing is that TikTok is still available. So the mere mention of TikTok being bought up by another company and the app is still available has driven down usage. So there's like this psychological effect now for people thinking TikTok is going away. So like people aren't using it as much, even though it's still there and nothing has happened yet. So Fastly stock plummets. And it's because their biggest provider, their biggest customer is TikTok. So if TikTok goes away, then their entire revenue plummets. So all of these people that owned Fastly stock just lost a lot of money. Again, all because the government, all because President Trump opened his mouth about TikTok and this ripple effect. So that's why I just want to make this point that all of these things are intertwined. So when you've got politics, when you've got politicians making comments about where Boeing is going to build a new plant, where China trade war, banning TikTok, we're going to close this border or that border, and you've got some of these stocks in your portfolio or they're in your retirement account, you need to know what's in that account. And this is a time for you to go through your 401k, go through the different funds that you're invested in, and see how many of those particular stocks are tied to government involvement. Because this is how you can lose thousands of dollars in a short amount of time. And I'm tired of people saying, yeah, but it'll bounce back. That is one of the most idiotic things. I can't stand when people say that, because they fundamentally don't understand that you're losing time. You never get time back in investing. Time is the enemy. And so all of these people in the 2008 crash, right? They lost so much money in their 401ks. I mean, I was surrounded by people at Fox at the time who had 401ks wiped out. Some of them at retirement age. So they don't have time to make that up again. But then so many other morons out there who are in their 30s and 40s and sitting there like, yeah, but it, and then 10 years later, like, yeah, it bounced back. Hey, guess what? My 401k has now bounced back to where it was before the recession. They say 5 years later, 7 years later. To which I say, wait a second, you just lost 7 years of investing time because you're telling me that you're just waiting for it to bounce back. I can't stand when I watch CNBC or these other Wall Street shows, they want you to remain ignorant. They want you to stay stupid so that they make money. So if you watch these stupid shows, you watch mainstream media, all they ever say is just buy and hold. Play the long game, they say. Play the long game. Put your money in the stock market and just sit on it. And who cares if you lose 5 years of investing because the stock market goes down? It'll bounce back. What happened in those 5 years? If you had that money in something else or something more intelligent than the stocks I'm talking about today, if you had money invested in Apple or, you know, companies that aren't going anywhere, if you had money invested in real estate or gold or silver or other real tangible assets that are performing, then the value of that thing might go down a little bit, but the cash flow from that item might be remaining consistent in real estate, for instance. So yes, that $50,000 house might drop in value during a recession down to $40,000 or $45,000 or something. Who cares? Because there's a tenant living in the property and it's cash flowing. But if you had your money in the stock market and you lost 5 years of investing and it bounced back 7 years later, you just lost 5-7 years of your life. You don't get that back. So you need to be smarter with these investments. So those are five stocks. I'll rattle them off again. Facebook, Twitter, American Airlines, Carnival, and Fastly. Check to see if any of those are in your portfolio. If you're invested in those, seriously reconsider given this government involvement in those stocks. Smash that like button if you'd be so kind and subscribe to our channel. We also have our investing newsletter, Morning Invest, which goes out every morning where we cover business news that I think is important for you. Just go to morninginvest.com and subscribe to it. It's totally free. Won't cost you anything. And you can read it in about 5 minutes over your cup of coffee in the morning. Thank you so much, Sherry Dixon. I appreciate it. It says, because we love your show. Thank you so much. Yeah, I mean, I would love to see. So we're all talking about the stimulus this morning. I'd love to get your thoughts on that. What do you guys think about a federal program, Federal Reserve stepping in with like a federal credit card that could give us, you know, federal money every month, $2,000 a month with this federal buyback bond program? So it's a really fascinating program. And the Federal Reserve lays it out right here in this report. What it would do is, this is the report from Julia Coronado, former Fed chair, and Simon Potter. And they want to set up a digital payment system backed by the Federal Reserve. The way that this would work is they would issue you a bond. And then if the unemployment rate hits a certain level, they would buy these bonds back and give you cash for them in the form of a digital currency. Katie Biodrosky says, would you suggest closing your 401k? Thank you for your super chat. I'm not a financial advisor, but you need to look at what first of all, I'm not a fan of the 401k at all. It was never meant to stand on its own as an investment vehicle. It was always meant to work in tandem with pensions, and pensions have gone. So it was never meant to stand on its own. The 401k I have a big trouble with because on the one hand, most Americans, that's all they have. And they think that you're going to save your way to retirement so that when you retire at 60 or whatever, that the average 401k at retirement is $90,000 in this country, $90,000. So if you retire, can you live off of $90,000 until you die? Good luck. I mean, you would literally be below the poverty level for the rest of your life, living off of that. So it's predicated on this idea that you should save and have a pile of cash at the end of your life, which is ridiculous. What I try to teach you to do is to have streams of cash throughout your life, whether it's owning businesses, investing in real estate, things that are spitting off monthly cash flow to you. Again, I have an entire real estate investing channel. If you're interested in it, it's a totally different YouTube channel. It's called youtube.com/Morris Invest, like my last name, Morris. Here's the channel where we walk through all of this in real estate investing. We only have about 1,900 subscribers. It's a pretty brand new channel, actually. We launched it a few months ago. But it's only focused on real estate investing, taxes, and how to become a real estate investor. So if anyone's interested in that, it's just youtube.com/Morris Invest. So check it out if you're interested in that. But your 401k, let me go back to your question on the 401k. So under the CARES Act, you have an opportunity now to pull out up to $100,000 in your 401k, and you can invest that in real estate. You could go and buy. That's with $100,000, like what we do at our company at Morris Invest, like that's like two down payment. That's like two houses you could buy. Or no, you could buy like three houses with that. Because like a down payment would be like $30,000-$35,000. And then the financing would be there for the rest of it. So you could buy three rental properties with that amount. So under the CARES Act, they moved it from $50,000 up to $100,000 that you're allowed to take out now, penalty free under the CARES Act. Again, that's good only until December 31st. So take advantage of that. But you know, if your money's sitting in the I'm not a big fan of paper assets. Let me be clear. So if you've got money in the stock market, it should be strategic, highly, you know, you should really know what's in those funds that you're investing in. And the only reason a 401k is good, in my opinion, is if your employer matches it. And I would only be investing up until the level at which my employer match. So 6%. And even then, an employer match is only, it's only decent because usually they're giving you stocks of the company you work for. So you work for Ford. The company match usually is like Ford stock. So you need to be careful of that. And also you have to be vested. That means you have to work there for a number of years. So there's certain percentages that you have to be there year after year before you get the full vesting amount of that company match. But most companies are getting rid of the company match altogether. So anyway, I would, you know, if I had $100,000 in a 401k that I could tap out at the moment, I would take that $100,000 and I would buy like three rental properties with that. Three down payments, you know, $30,000, $30,000, $30,000. And interest rates are so stinking low. And then the cash flow from that rental property is covering not only the mortgage, but now I'm cash flowing profit above that. That's what I would be doing. So again, I teach you how to do that, you know, real estate investing again on my channel, my YouTube, my other YouTube channel, just youtube.com/Morris Invest if you want to check that out. Thank you guys. Sheree Dixon, great to see you. So we have a Sherry Dixon and a Sheree Dixon. I love that. Love, love, love your show. Thank you for your super chat. So kind of you. Rhonda Aureleno, thank you for your kind super chat today. We've got 20 new channel members today. You want to become a channel member and support independent journalism covering the stories you're not going to see on CNBC or the mainstream media. Thank you. All you need to do is just go to morninginvest.com/join is how you join us as a channel member. And today is our members only chat. Did someone just ask, and I scrolled past it. I was trying to find it. Someone just asked about, do I have a Roku channel? Someone says, says, good morning from the West Texas oil patch. Good morning to you. Thank you, Andrew. Says, best YouTube show out there. Thank you so much. Yvette Martinez says, I need help, an answer before I sign on the dotted line. Help. Let me scroll back. What question did you have, Yvette? Let's see if I can find your original. What do I think about renting to own? The first question I have, here's renting to own, Yvette. The reason you would rent to own is because your credit is probably not good, right? Am I correct in guessing that? Because with interest rates as low as they are right now, why wouldn't you just use a traditional bank and buy the house? Why would you need to rent to own the house? So is it my, is my assumption correct, Yvette, that you're, saying 35, with 35% down? Yes. Okay. So that's why someone would rent to own. How much money down, Yvette, are they asking for? You need to be very careful with rent to own. There are a lot of scam artists out there in the rent to own space. You really need to be careful. Okay. Because here, let me give you, there's a lot of scam artists in the rent to own space. I've met them, and I've seen what they do. I've never done it myself. I've never done a rent to own. I've never done a rent to own transaction, but I've seen it and I've wanted to avoid it my whole real estate career. John Shanks, thank you so much. You're a 3 month as a member. Thank you so much for your super chat. I love this channel and I will always support this channel because of independent journalism. Thank you so much. I, much love to you, John. So I want to hang on this rent to own thing in it for a second, because I think a lot of people could be fooled into it, and it's a good story for you to understand. Here's how it's a scam many times. I'm not saying your this situation is a scam for you because it's legitimate. I'm just saying watch out for the scam artists. So here's how the scam artist rent to own works. They hope you don't make your payments. And have to start over. So how much money did they ask for you to put down? Can you answer me that, Yvette? How much money did they ask you to put down? Yeah, they hope you default. They're asking for $35,000 down. Okay. So what happens is they're banking on the fact. Now, there's some good apples out there. Like there's a couple, a husband and wife team out of Baltimore. Their whole program, they really work to help you improve your credit the entire time that you're renting from them. They want you to own the house eventually. So there are good people in the rent-to-own space. There are bad people, though, too. And the bad people basically give you a house that they haven't done the full, they haven't fixed it up like they said they did, right? They're banking on the fact that maybe you haven't even got an inspection on the property. So there's a lot of problems with the house, okay? Maybe the roof needs repairing, the furnace isn't working, there's a lot of crap in this house. And now basically, it's kind of your house in a way. And you're going to have to fix a lot of this stuff up. So you need to be careful about that. Also, they're going to take that $35,000 and that money basically is a down payment is going to go to them. And if you stop making payments, they get that $35,000 and you're out that money. So if you have $35,000, I mean, you should look at like non-recourse financing or, you know, work with credit is not the end all be all these days as it once was. If you can come to the table and find a house that you can put down more money to make up for your like lower credit score. And by the way, credit can be fixed pretty quickly. I would check out Wayne, the credit guy. Maybe I'll have Wayne on the show again. I have a couple of videos here on my channel where I interviewed Wayne, the credit guy, talks about credit repair. Just be careful about rent to own. I mean, remember, here's the thing about home ownership, folks. The house you live in is not a performing asset. So why do you want to own this house? It's going to take money out of your pocket every month. Remember, cash flow is the most important thing for you to have a sustainable retirement. What if you could continue to rent, take that $35,000 and put it towards a down payment on a rental property? And now you're renting and you own a rental property and it's cash flowing to you every month. So I just be careful about the rent-to-own space. It's just the sharks. I mean, house probably, you might have to end up doing more work on it than you think, and you think you're getting a great deal. They prey on people like that. They prey on people with bad credit because they know you're in a bind. But I'm here to tell you that you're not in a bind. You actually have a leg up. If you've got $35,000 in your pocket, use that as an investment. Buy a rental property. Invest in property that's going to produce cash flow. And just continue to rent where you live. I rent where I live. I don't own this. I'm renting. Because when you live in a house where it's taking cash out of your pocket every month, that's not a performing asset. I hope that helps. Yvette Martinez says, I bought a house for $18,000 so I can fix it. Is that the same house? If that's the same house, I'm not quite sure, but that's great. Wonderful. If you bought a house and you know that the ROI is there, again, please watch my real estate investing channel. I teach you how to do all of this. We don't have much time to do it all here on this channel. This is more of a broader based business channel. So I built a brand new in real estate investing channel. It's called Morris Invest. So just go to youtube.com/Morris Invest and all of our real estate related videos are here. I teach you like understanding return on investment, ROI, tracking your rental property expenses, how to quit your day job by acquiring cash flowing properties, how to take advantage of the CARES Act right now. I have a whole video on that for real estate investors. So go check that out if you're interested in that. So thank you. Corey says, I'm still sitting in the gym parking lot watching this. People have worked out and left. Thank you. I love that. Thank you, guys. MCAT says, because I believe in paranormal, they dubbed me insane. Who's that? Who dubbed you insane? It's crazy. Tell them to come watch my YouTube channel, my paranormal post. Then they'll believe. When they see... then they'll actually believe. All right, thanks everyone. I have got to hit the road because my wife and I, it's our anniversary. Do you want to come say hi? I love how she's not reluctant on the days when she's like not in her gym clothes. Now she's like, sure, I'll come say hi. Because she's just fresh out of the shower. And so.
Hi, everybody.
Happy anniversary.
Thank you. You too.
Should we tell them the 1 year you forgot our anniversary?
That was three. You're three. Yes.
I was on TV and I was joking about like.
No, you had an astrologer, a psychic astrologer on who started to do a reading for him. And she said, oh, is it your anniversary or something? And you go, actually, yeah, it is. And I was watching. And I'm like, no, it's not. And I looked at my phone and I was like, uh-oh. Yeah, it is. And I even texted you like, why'd you tell her that? And then I didn't look at the date. So,
but yes,
this year I remembered.
Yes.
I'm all dressed up.
All right. So I got to go pack.
Yes, you do. Are you sure you want to go to the meeting?
I was joking earlier about my procrastination. So now I'm going to go pack 5 minutes before our trip. Much love to all of you. Thank you guys for tuning in, subscribing to the channel. Really appreciate it. Oh, by the way, hey, Philip, do we have... No, I need to pull up a full screen. This show is now an audio podcast. So go to Apple Podcasts if you want to listen to the audio version of this show. We have the full show now available on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, all of them. So it's just Morning Invest. Go check it out. Morning Invest is now on Apple Podcast. It's a full audio podcast that we publish daily after this show. But you guys are here live. But if you miss it, you want to hear it on audio, you want to listen to it again, you can download it and subscribe. And you know what I would love? We only have one review for the Apple Podcast right now. Is if you use, can you write a 5-star review? Just tell us what you like about the show on Apple Podcasts. That's the biggest platform. The Apple Podcast platform. So if you'd be so kind, Philip, you too. go leave us a 5-star review or an honest review and just tell us what you think of the show and if it means something to you. That really helps us out a lot. So thanks, everyone. All right. Much love to all of you guys. Have a great weekend. And I will not be doing a live show this weekend because it's my anniversary. So if there is some big news, I will make sure I get some message out to you somehow. But we'll be watching Congress and see what they do on the stimulus front and any other big financial news. So have a great weekend, everyone.